Does that just not sound awesome?
It does sound awesome.
Okay. Me and Greg have been saying behind the glass this morning that that literally sounds like the most like stereotypical Russian accent ever, but it's real.
Right.
Like right. That, yeah. Like, I mean, that, yeah that it's from a Russian dude.
It's authentic.
Like
Tom.
Somebody, but it would sounds like somebody that doesn't have a Russian accent, but is playing a Russian character in a movie.
Yeah, it's like a villain.
It sounds like it. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. You kind of summed it up in many less words.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, yes, but it was awesome. And let's
I will break you.
If he dies, if he dies. You think he was Ivan Drago?
What Russian character did Sergei sound like last night? 248.
So Tom, I don't know if you saw this, but I you know, scroll the text too. Someone compared him to Borat earlier in the show, which
come on.
Yeah. Anyway, 248-539-9797.
Should get Stoney to call
it
and impersonate.
Oh, no, that's what we need. Yes. That's exactly what we did. I was thinking that earlier. I'm like, I want to hear Stoney do that.
Okay, let's get to Bill in Brighton. Bill, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. I just want to talk about Stafford. Someone compared or said, what about Calvin or Barry? Calvin and Barry were multiple All-Pro first team, not Pro Bowl. We're talking All-Pro. With Stafford, he wasn't even second team ever All-Pro. He never won a playoff game. If your number is retired for the Lions, then it's what you did for the Lions. I don't care what you did after. I don't care what you did before. If your number is retired for the Lions, you can't go up there never being honored by your peers as being one of the best. So I just don't see any way his number should ever be retired.
Bill,
and I think it's terrible to compare him to Barry and Calvin.
Oh, there's no comparison. I agree with you.
Hall of Famers. That's why it was brought up. They would all be Hall of Famers. That would be the
right,
point
but
of
they
comparison.
Would be Hall of Famers for what they did for the Lions. What Matthew Stafford did for the Lions, if his career ended then, there was no chance he was going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Let's get to John in Roseville. John, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. When you were talking about current players, one name crossed my mind that he probably will get his jersey retired. I'm not sure by the Red Wings, but what about Patrick Kane?
In Chicago.
Yeah, it won't be here.
Yeah, it won't be here. I mean, we all love him here now, but, I mean, go back 3 years, and that wasn't the feeling.
How long would he have to play here? I mean, he'd have to probably win a cup.
What if they won a cup?
I don't think so. That his number will be retired as a Red Wing.
Yeah, we're talking about guys that spent... I mean, Fedorov, the knock on him was he didn't spend his entire career here, right? That's why it took so long. He didn't spend his entire career here.
Fedorov?
Yeah.
Oh, well, no. It was the way he left.
Well, yes.
That's why it wasn't retired, not because he didn't spend his entire career here.
But the guys who have their jersey retired are lifelong Red Wings. And no part of Patrick Kane is going to be a lifelong Red Wing.
No. That'll be the, you know, he also played for.
Yeah. A couple cool moments, 500 goals, hopefully some playoff moments too. But yeah, that's going to be Chicago's deal.
Mm-hmm. It might be a 2 Grand Slam question. Who did Patrick Kane last play for?
Yeah.
And we don't even know that might not even be the Red Wings.
A couple texts. Sergey sounded like Gru from the Minions.
Good call.
Another vote for Gru. Uh-huh. That's Jay and Flat Rock.
Love that movie, by the
91
way.
91 is Teddy KGB. Tom, I'm sure you love that one.
Oh, yeah.
He sounds like Sean Connery in Hunt for Red October. Guys, I was
Sean English Connery guy. In Hunt for Red October did not talk with a Russian accent.
No, he didn't. That's why I started laughing. I'm like, wait a second.
Guys, was there last night seeing the emotion in Stevie's face, basically in tears multiple times during the ceremony, was my favorite moment, Pete, in Waterford. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at one point, I'm like, is he getting choked up? And then there was a moment where Fedorov's talking, but Iserman's in frame, and I'm going, is he getting a little misty-eyed? Uh-huh. And I'm not. It's awesome. Like, that's what that night's all about. Anyway, 248-539-9797. We'll carve out more time to talk about the Red Wings as the show rolls on. We have tickets to give away today, and we're giving away tickets all week. Chris Stapleton, he's going to be in Detroit in August, and we're giving away a pair of tickets every single day this week. So we gave away a pair yesterday. You're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets today.
And I've seen him in concert. He is awesome. Awesome in person.
So here's what you're going to do. You're going to listen for the drum solo to In the Air Tonight at some point this hour. When you hear it, call in, win tickets. Tickets aren't on sale yet. They go on sale Friday, January 16th at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. Win them with us this hour.
Everybody just played that solo in their head. Mm-hmm. When you said that, everybody they probably did the same thing I did.
Yeah. Okay, here's the other thing we wanted to get into. And I know we got so many different storylines to monitor. Today is the day that Mike McDaniel is interviewing for the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator position. And I'm questioning whether or not he should pull a Ben Johnson. What I mean by that is use the Lions to get an even better head coaching job than the one that's out there. So Ben Johnson famously, I'm not going to do Carolina. Washington, I know you're on a flight on the way to Detroit, and you can turn right around. I'm angling for something better. And it's annoying to us, but it's been better with the Bears. He's won the division in a playoff game. Should Mike McDaniel take the Lions OC job over the Browns, who we already interviewed with, or the Titans? Should he say, no, those are technically better jobs as head coaching jobs, only one of 32. But if I go run the Lions offense with the plays and the players, I could put together a resume that gets me the Dallas Cowboy job, or you know, whatever marquee job ends up
opens up next year.
Yeah, so you say I got Gibbs, who I know I can scheme up big explosive run plays. I've done it in multiple stops, Miami and San Francisco. Look what I did with Achan this year. I got 2,000-yard receivers, St. Brown and J-Mo, each of the last two seasons. I got Goff, who's a top 10 quarterback. And the best thing is everybody's feeling a little down. So there's room for me to come in and be a savior-like figure. I don't have to worry about the culture and all the little bells and whistles and dotting I's and crossing T's for the 53-man roster. I got to take a high-powered offense and score a lot of points. That sounds like a great opportunity for him. Should he pull a Ben Johnson?
Well, we would love him to. And I think that's probably the smartest move for him. The only one out would be if... Now, since they won a playoff game, I don't know that there'll be a coaching change, but what if Buffalo ends up getting ousted this weekend and it looks bad?
Yeah, that's a different story.
Is McDermott out? And so my question is he going to wait and see if the Buffalo job opens up?
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting because if they got bounced in the first round, there's a stronger case to fire McDermott.
No, certainly.
Yeah, now it's a gray area. You know, I mean, are the Packers going to fire LaFleur, and whether you get that job or not, does it create a domino effect? I mean, when he's in the building today, this is the only OC interview he's taking. He's taking head coaching interviews.
Right.
How serious is this for him? Is this a fallback, or does he view this as one of the primo opportunities?
Oh, I think it would be a primo opportunity because of the fact that you've got a franchise quarterback. You've got a running back tandem. Even if you lose David Montgomery, you've got a number one running back that you could do a lot with, very similar to what he had in Miami. Even if the Lions don't do anything with the offensive line, it's still a better offensive line than he had in Miami. And we saw that he was able to pull a running game out of thin air. And so the weapons that he has downfield, like, it's an opportunity if you're coming in not to be the head coach, but just simply focus on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, he could put up astronomical numbers and then be in position. But then the question is, okay, if you're looking ahead to the possible job openings next year, what might those be?
It's hard to predict.
Right. It's impossible to predict. So the only other one that I think might be interesting that is open currently, what would he think? And I don't know if he's even be rumored to be interviewed by the Raiders. Because
Number one pick.
Yeah. And if he likes Mendoza or Dante Moore, if he declares for the draft, like if he likes one of those quarterbacks, it would probably be exciting, enticing for him to get on the ground floor and say, you know what? I want to be able to make this quarterback and shape him like I want him to be.
This is going to be impossible to ask of people, but take out the fact that you're a Lions fan. Would you rather be the Browns head coach or the Lions offensive coordinator next year? Looking at your career decision, John, what would you rather do?
Lions offensive coordinator because of the dumpster fire that the franchise has been, but also the fact that like they don't have a starting quarterback. Right. Like, okay, they got a bunch of quarterbacks, but none of them I think are franchise quarterbacks. And then you look and say, well, they had a decent run game, but they're hurt. Offensive line is aging. Defense is good, but he's going to be judged on what the offense does.
Right. Same question. Titans head coach or Lions offensive coordinator?
That's a tougher one because it depends on what he believes Cam Ward is going to be. That might be enticing. If he looks at Cam Ward and says, studies yeah, I tape. Can make that a stud.
Yeah. Falcons, Ravens, I think those are jobs that you would be more apt to take than yeah. take a year as the OC just because of the unknown. 248-539-9797. Ton of phone calls to get to. Feedback from you guys. It's 97.1.
Hey, Planet Fitness talks about we're all strong on this planet. What does that mean to them? It means it doesn't matter your fitness level or your experience. You could be a newbie, somebody that just wants to get in there and start something new this new year. Because if you do, every one of their memberships involves and includes free fitness training from knowledgeable trainers focused on you. You could also be a fitness expert. You go in there, it's a welcoming environment, it's extremely clean. And if you're a fitness expert, you've been to a lot of gyms that maybe aren't that clean, they do a great job in the locker rooms and out on the floor. And you also got to figure out, hey, what is my reason for working out? I've told you many times, the reason I work out is because I want to, one, I want to have a nice long life, but I also want to be able to play with my kids eventual, you know, hopefully number of years down the road, grandkids. But Teddy's only four, so I want to make sure I can do things with him as well. Find your nearest club and join today in club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet. Planet Fitness.
All right, a couple things in the mix. We're going to read some of your texts on whether or not Mike McDaniel should pull a Ben Johnson. He's interviewing today for the Lions offensive coordinator job. He's also interviewing for head coaching gigs. Would you take a bottom feeder head coaching job or pull a Ben Johnson? Run the Lions offense for a couple years, put up gaudy numbers, and get an even better job. 248-539-9797. The phone calls we got to get to. We talked about jersey retirements. First class moment last night, ceremony for Sergei. Who's the next jersey and who currently playing is making the best case? Let's get to Mike in Lake Orion. Mike, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about last night, the jersey retirement, just a fantastic evening for everybody. And I think the most special moment for me was watching Sergei walk over to his jersey, get lifted in the rafters, and have his whole family by him. It's something that he never got to do as a player, and seeing that for him was just really special.
Yeah, I think his wife taking a couple photos, taking it all in as the jersey gets raised up into the air.
Yeah, and a cool moment for his kids. How old are his kids?
They're younger.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is kind of one of the things that, you know, and my kids never saw me play or don't remember it. His kids didn't see him play for the best years of his career, but to have lived that moment and see dad's jersey go up and stand there with him, like, that is an awesome moment.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Mike.
Very happy for him. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm. Let's get to Steve in Livonia. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Great.
Good.
I got one thing about Stafford, Barry and Calvin. Barry and Calvin played their whole career in Detroit. Stafford didn't want to be in Detroit anymore and has to be traded. So why should we honor him? He didn't want to be here. He quit on us.
I mean, some would say Barry quit on us.
Or Calvin. He quit on us. They did. They both did, all three of them. But they played the whole career in Detroit. They didn't ask to be traded. They quit playing football. They didn't ask to be traded, Barry and Calvin. They just quit football.
I mean, I think that is a good point that Stafford just said, hey, I want out.
Right.
And yeah, I think a lot of people would have an issue hanging his jersey when he's the guy that wanted out of Detroit.
It's a crazy catch-22, though, because if he stays in Detroit, I'm not sure that he achieves the things that he needs to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, because obviously if you don't make the trade, you don't get the first round picks.
Right.
And so, you know, could they have done the same thing with Matthew Stafford here?
Been harder.
That's my point. So
that's,
I mean,
what makes
you
it
never
such
know.
A weird,
yeah.
Like, part of the reason he becomes interesting as a jersey retiring candidate is because he could cement a Hall of Fame resume, but the way he would be doing it would be after he left Detroit, which is why I think the word was weird when I brought it up, or even awkward as we talk about it now. Mm-hmm. All right, some of the questions and feedback on Mike McDaniel in town today. Guys, there's one other wild card in all of this. Would the Eagles be a better job if they fired their offensive coordinator? two stud receivers, stud tailback, quarterback who's won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you've got a lot of drama with A.J. Brown, your number one receiver.
True. And St. Brown couldn't be more different here in Detroit.
Correct. And I don't know what was up with Saquon this year. He clearly didn't have the same season he had last year. Not the same offensive line either. So
if you're projecting ahead, who's got more tread on the tires? It's Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah. I think if you're just comparing OC jobs, I think the one in Detroit is superior.
I think so too. Mike McDaniel needs the Lions for a year for his own long-term success. He could learn from a leader like Dan Campbell, and it could benefit him big time with the next job and the right job. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
This one says, yeah, he should absolutely come here for a year or two, drive our Ferrari offense, and then see what head coaching job opens.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking the Titans job, number one, you love Cam Ward, and two, you have to be ready to trade Simmons and collect high picks, start peaking 2 or 3 years from now. This text says, if you like the Titans, they basically need 21 new starters to build a Super Bowl roster. That's a tough job.
It is a tough job.
McDaniel would run the risk of failing twice in a row as a head coach if he takes one of those head coaching jobs. The Lions OC makes the most sense. That's E in Wixom.
And then you just keep doing what you're doing until the opportunity, like it was for Ben Johnson, to go to Chicago with a young quarterback that you felt like you could believe in. Now, on the flip side, okay, we're talking about jobs possibly next year. The Jets are picking two. If they take, either Dante Moore or Fernando Mendoza, then Aaron Glenn has to sit there with a, rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. Do they have a similar year? Is he out next year? And then you can step in year two with a young quarterback. It's very similar to what's going on with the Giants right now.
What are some other jobs that could, this is so hard to do a year in advance, that could open up? I mentioned Dallas because it's always a powder keg. They missed the playoffs this year. Dallas could open up. See, I don't know. Like if LaFleur and Tomlin stay another year, but they don't get any further.
Well, the question for Pittsburgh, even if Tomlin stays or doesn't stay, is like, what are they going to do at the quarterback position? I don't think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, and you're not going to take that job knowing that you only got Aaron Rodgers for a year.
I mean, a text points out, what if he ends up as the Packers head coach? Like, does a stint here and then goes to Green Bay.
Oh, so we could just populate the division?
Yeah. Basically, yes.
that's a possibility. And then, I mean, the wild card is going to be the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do they do with Josh Allen? Like, we talk about a Super Bowl window here. How about their Super Bowl window?
All right, we'll get to Heather with the news. Heather, what's going on?
Well, thankfully, a serial scammer is off the streets. Yes, a Dearborn man has been charged with 8 counts of larceny after allegedly running a scam on unsuspecting shoppers for months. So police say that he would look for victims at Fairlane and other strip malls across the city. And once he found somebody to target, he would tell them like a sad story. He needed money for formula or he needed gas for his car. And then he would ask for cash and say, if you can loan me some money, I'll give you money back like through Zelle or through a Cash App, right? Well, then when the victim would take out the money, he would just grab it and run. So there was never any exchange, of course, at all. And police say they're looking at least 10 reported thefts as of now in Dearborn. And they say this guy is still in jail and is being held on a cash bond and will require a GPS tether if he's able to post bond. Hey, Michigan Central Race Days are almost here. This sounds pretty cool. So Ford Racing will host a season launch event at the historic train station on January 15th. And then for nearly 2 weeks afterward, the station will be transformed into the ultimate racing headquarters. Mm. You're welcome to go down. It's the Michigan Central Race Days are described as where innovation meets the fast lane. Take place from Sunday, January 18th through January 30th. There's going to be several different experiences and activations you can go in and be part of. You can go and take a look at a bunch of different race cars. You can sit in a car.
Actual races.
No, it's more of like learning the history of Ford Racing, seeing the race cars in person. You can sit in them. You can't actually drive them, but there will be simulators that you can take part in. It's an event for the whole family. All ages are welcome. So Cool. Kind of cool. Rock and Brews, a restaurant founded by KISS members Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons, is bringing live music and more to Royal Oak this spring. So the restaurant is going to fill the three-story former Hopcat location on Fifth Avenue. It sounds like there's going to obviously be a dining space, but there'll be a concert area as well on the second floor, a rooftop bar that will include a DJ, and then they'll have obviously music, but they're going to have televisions for sport watching. They say it will also feature scratch-made American classic dishes, signature drinks, and Michigan craft beer. It's going to be the first Rock and Brews restaurant in the state, and they are currently hiring. So if you're looking for work, they've got basically every position is up for grabs.
It's a great location. There actually was a place between Hopcat and this. It was like a pasta place. It just never worked out. The location's awesome, so...
Is it walking distance for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a less than a mile walk.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. I mean, everything in that area is
super walkable. So, I'm interested to see.
For sure. I hope it does well. Speaking of new restaurants, the first Chick-fil-A in downtown Detroit is opening this week. It's going to open on Thursday. So, it's located in the First National Building, which is right outside of Campus Martius. It will be open 6 days a week, starting at 8 a.m. 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., Monday through Thursday, 8 to 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday. And it sounds like this also created a bunch of new jobs in the area. It created 110 jobs. Also recently made a $50,000 donation to three area nonprofits. So
cool.
Very cool. So Gen Zers have a new term they're tossing around, and it's the term Choppelganger.
What?
Huh. Yeah, have you heard this yet?
No.
So Choppelganger.
Doppelganger.
So, yeah, so it
what?
Basically means that...
Oh, can I guess?
Yes.
So someone who's chopped is like ugly. So this is like an ugly version of you.
Exactly. It's like, hey, you're so-and-so's choppelganger. Like, you're their doppelganger, ganger, only uglier. So it's like an insult, but they're using it, I guess, in a playful manner. They're not using it to like be really harsh, but yet it is kind of harsh. But I would guess if you're comparing somebody to like a really attractive celebrity, most likely we're all choppelgangers. To that particular, but it depends. Like,
I don't know, some of the celebrities you see without their makeup on or, not on the big screen.
I guess there's a lot of beautiful female celebrities. Maybe the men.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with that.
Are not, but like, it depends who you're compared to.
Yes, this is correct.
If you're,
So it's funny this comes up. I got a message from a guy yesterday. He goes, "Are you at the Red Wing game tonight?" I was like, no, sorry, man. He goes, oh, I've been yelling at this guy cookies all night.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I saw he's a little too big to be you. So he
is he your choppelganger?
Uh-huh. Yeah. What is he, 6'2"?
I think he meant like a, like he was FJC.
Oh, boy.
Fat Jim Casca.
Oh, okay. All right. I got to write down all these new things.
Choppelganger. Uh-huh. All right, coming up next, Upside Down Pineapples. It's a QB swapperoo. It's 97.1.
Hey, if hair loss has been on your mind, Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration is the doctor you need to go see. He was just named the top hair restoration surgeon in the Midwest. That award reflects what his patients and his family already know. So Dr. B, he's had the procedure himself. He's restored his son's hair and his nephew's too. And when it comes to trust, it doesn't get more personal than that. Dr. B is a board certified surgeon and the only physician in Detroit offering both smart graft and neograft, all performed by his full-time in-house medical team. There's no traveling techs, no shortcuts, just real natural hair you can run your fingers through. And if you've been waiting for the right time, this is it. Don't put it off another year. Make 2026 the year you look like yourself again. Schedule your free consultation today, and when you mention 97.1, you'll receive $1,000 off your procedure. Dr. B treats every patient like family. Visit MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Oh, it's feeling like it again. It's a wonderful time in Hockey Town. We're going to talk about it at 9:02. The buy-in for this hockey team, which is in first place in the Eastern Conference. We are beyond the halfway point. Let's take inventory. We'll do it with a scale of 1 to 5 car flags.
Mm-hmm.
Get into it at 9:02. John, we got some response to our switcheroo, swapperoo, upside-down pineapple quarterbacks
question.
Your thing. If you say so. All right, here's the response. And I think we did it right if you have the following feedback. Homer. And then another one that says, no wonder Goff gets so pissed at the media. Load decorum.
Right, yeah. So the Homer thinks that you're probably sitting there going, okay, I'm the standard, right? Josh Allen, Matthew Stafford, and I had Drake May. Who was your fourth?
I also had Drake May. And then I had Jalen Hurts.
Right. And there's if you're calling us the homer, you probably think Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts.
Jordan Love. Caleb Williams. There's a couple texts on these guys. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
The Herbert question. So your guy's telling me if the Chargers called and offered Herbert for Goff straight up, one for one, you'd say no. Get out of here.
See, I was conflicted on that one. And I mentioned I am a big Justin Herbert fan. He has not been protected. And I think the other thing too is I'm a sucker for a tough guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he is as tough as they come. He's played with a broken hand.
He's very Staffordish early in his career, I think.
It's eerily similar.
Yeah.
Three playoff losses to start your career. Arm talent, tough, stand in there, play through pain.
Okay, so then another 4 years when Goff is at the end of his career, we manufacture some way for him to have this mediocre career, a lot of numbers, but a mediocre, playoff career with the Chargers. He comes here and wins MVPs and Super Bowls. There's your path to your next quarterback.
It's perfect.
And Harbaugh comes too.
No, thank you. Just the quarterback.
This one says, guys, I hate the Packers more than anything, but Love gets unfairly painted as a turnover-prone dude when in reality, he actually has less interceptions the past 3 years than Jared Goff has.
Sorry, I was distracted.
Says that Love is unfairly painted as turnover prone.
It's not necessarily turnover prone. It's the times when he throws the turnovers or misses the wide open receiver.
Yeah. I would have to concede that he did do a better job limiting turnovers this season. At the same time, I just think Jared Goff is better. I mean, Jared Goff throws more touchdowns. Jared Goff leads more prolific offenses. Jared Goff leads more playoff wins.
Yeah. He's more dependable.
Yeah. Guys, so where we're at right now, you'd still pick Goff. If we live in the now, I would take Caleb Williams.
If we lived in the two-year future, I would take Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is a 58% completion percentage. And there are times where he just airmails. And it's shocking to me because of a lot of the overthrows that he has or just completely off the mark that there's not more interceptions. When he misses bad, he misses so bad it can't even be intercepted.
Guys, anyone who watched Goff this year sees he can move fine in the pocket as long as there is a pocket. He'll step up and move left or right and deliver the football.
Agree. He's got great pocket presence. And he was top five in completion percentage, and that's with the amount of times. If he was simply concerned about just his numbers, he would have had, 10 more sacks instead of dirting the ball at the running back's feet or throwing away to a wide receiver. If he just simply cared about his numbers, his completion percentage would be more in line with Drake May's at 72% versus what is 68-point something.
Yeah, and the difference with May is he doesn't have to take those sacks because he does have that added element. Gov must not have watched Purdy against the Seahawks.
I'm counting his entire career.
Okay.
There's good and there's bad.
It was the here and now.
It's good and bad for Purdy at times. That's certainly Jared Goff at the same time, too.
I thought John made a great point. If you could get Shanahan with him,
right,
it's a different conversation. But if you took Purdy away from the Shanahan offense,
I think he would look pretty nice in this offense. Needs to be tinkered with maybe with a new OC.
Guys, I'd take Purdy over Goff. I like his mobility, Michael and Allen Park.
Yeah, but then you also have the injury issues. Now, his UCL, like that, he got hit, right? I'm not going to put that one on him, but I don't remember what he was out for this year. He's missed some time almost every single year.
Purdy's mobility is needed to make up for his inability to be a high-level passer the way Goff is. That's what I would argue, unnamed ticket texter.
I think Goff is a high-level passer.
Just remember, they've both lost a Super Bowl.
Okay, but here's the other argument. If guys are in a similar tier, I'm going to stick with my guy.
Yeah, right? It's a known quantity, right?
That's
what I even put down. I mentioned it during the segment. Like, Brock Purdy, even.
I'm different than you guys because I've seen what it looks like with Goff. Therefore, I would make the change.
Okay, I've seen what it looks like with Goff, where he had a 17-point lead at halftime of the NFC title game.
And that guy beat him.
And he
puts the ball right in his hands.
Yeah, sorry, Josh Reynolds got to catch a football, man. Jahmyr Gibbs can't fumble the football, man. Defense got to get a stop down the stretch of that football game.
Why couldn't they get a stop?
Because they didn't trade for Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, you just did the layup there, Brennan. I love that. Thank you.
All right, 9 o'clock hour. We're going to talk hockey. How about that? How about these Red Wings? It was Fedorov night last night. We'll spend some time talking about that. Our Chris Stapleton winner, Pete in Sterling Heights, won the tickets to see Chris Stapleton. You can do the same when tickets go on sale this Friday.
Yeah, it's a great concert. I mean, I'm sure it's changed a little bit, but I saw him live last year. He's awesome.
Talking hockey next, 97.1.